In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.
Amen.
Please be seated. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And those are not gospel verses per se of Pentecost, but they are the source of all of the details and the story of Pentecost in the book of Acts, which we hear this morning, the 50th day of Easter. And the gift, the descent, not so quietly, by the way, of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples, the apostles, and by extension upon us. So we're going to have a little walk through the rich meanings of the scriptures this morning and the connections between the readings and your thoughts as well about Pentecost. I won't call on you like you're in class. You know how you were always worried that you hadn't done your homework and the teacher would call on you. So that's all right. Volunteers only will be solicited. A few details to remember when you start thinking about why Pentecost happened the way it did, on the days it did, and where it did. First of all, in the Gospel, I added just a little emendation so you get a little sense of what's going on, because in John's Gospel, it just says on the last day of the festival, but it doesn't tell you what that was. And the festival is Tabernacles, or Shavuot. And that is the second harvest festival on the Jewish calendar after Pentecost. Feast of Weeks, it is sometimes called. And our Jewish brothers and sisters build in either in their homes, in their yards, or at their temples, something called a sukkah, or a booth, to remember how difficult it was to live in the wilderness during the Exodus, during the great 40 years. Feast of Tabernacles is a seven-day feast, and on the eighth day, the priests from the Temple of Jerusalem would go to the Pool of Siloam, gather water, bring it back to the temple, and pour it all over the altar as the people sang God's praises. That's a reference to the waters of creation, you see, the Spirit moving over the earth, and that is why Jesus says, "Come to me for living waters." He is present in the temple on that festival to witness this pouring out of the water, the river of life. But 7 weeks before that is the Jewish festival of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. And so it was right for the disciples to be together on that also great day. What do you make in the book of Acts, that first reading that we had, also by Luke, by the way, what do you make of that list of all the people, all the different people who are there? It's in the second paragraph. How is it that we hear each of us in our own native language, and then it goes down the list of people? You may not have heard of them. Some of them are ancient people, and some of them survive still to the Middle East these days. Did you get the direction? Did you follow it along? Why this list, Ed?
They came to worship in Jerusalem.
They came to worship in Jerusalem at this festival, that's correct, Pentecost, from every corner of the Roman Empire. That's the list of all of the nationalities of people in the Roman Empire. Because Jerusalem was the center of the known world in Jesus' time. The Romans had discovered Great Britain, much to their dismay, it turned out 400 years later. But the Romans had been to Great Britain. Other than that, the known world is surrounded by Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is at its center. So that is North Africa, parts of Asia, what we call the Middle East, and Europe. The known world. Nothing else is known about the world yet. The extent of the world has not been revealed to people. So they've come from all Jerusalem. And they're surprised because what? When the disciples start talking, what do they hear?
Their
own languages, right. More than just the number of apostles who were there to speak them. That's the miracle. You see, more languages than were present in the room, they hear. And that's a play on the fire. What is it? How does it describe the fire? And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and what appeared? Yeah, what kind?
Fire.
Fire, and what are they? They are divided. Yeah. Divided doesn't just mean split. It means that the languages of the world have divided people. The Tower of Babel, right? Nobody can understand each other's language. The divided tongues are no longer divided because everyone hears their own language, you see, at the miracle of Pentecost. It undoes the division of people. Now, what, of course, does everyone think might be happening? All were amazed and said to one another, what does this mean? But others said they are what? They're a little, tipsy. Yeah. They are filled with new wine is a very judicious translation. Right, they are filled with new wine, exactly. But that's ruled out immediately because someone says, wait a minute, the liquor stores aren't open at 9 in the morning. I love that line. It's 9 o'clock, you know. You don't have your first gin and tonic before lunch, right? So that kind of, I love that line. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, it's way too early. So I love that. That's just really very kind of human trait there.
But it's
5 o'clock somewhere, right? Except in Jerusalem, where it's always right. Good call. So, they're not speaking in tongues, are they? Sometimes we misinterpret this passage. Everyone heard about speaking in tongues? Anyone know what that is? It's a kind of a, what would we call it? Barbara, I see you nodding your head.
Well,
Pentecostals
consider it
a
gift from the Spirit.
Gift of the Spirit, exactly.
It's
a static utterance. It's kind of an ecstatic babbling, yeah. And Paul was a little nervous about this. The Apostle Paul said, I would rather say a few words that are understood than many words that cannot be understood. So Paul was a little concerned that maybe this would get in the way of the Pentecost story, which is languages that people can understand. And that's a reminder now. Before this, if you wanted to know about religion, and if you were Jewish, you knew either Greek or Hebrew. Those were the languages of religion. And now, what is going to happen? The faith can be spread by anyone in any language. The Tower of Babel is undone, and the Spirit of God is going to make it possible for God's grace and mercy to be preached to everyone in languages that they understand. What are the gifts of the Spirit in Corinthians, in Paul's letter to the Corinthians? What are the gifts of the Spirit? Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, and Paul's addition, interpretation of tongues. See, he gets it in there at the end just to remind you. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, and interpretation. Do you all see one of those gifts that might be yours? Does everyone see a gift there that might be theirs, yours? Did you ever think of it that way? Does any one person have them all? I hope not. Some think they do. Ma'am, might you be a teacher? Yes. Some think they do. That's the first step toward disaster. Exactly. But everyone has one. Do you all see where you are? Are you someone who heals? Are you someone whose life brings miraculous change? Are you someone who's wise and can discern and can think about things and see beyond what is apparent? Are you someone who is able to look ahead and say, I think these are the important things of the future? sure we have to attend to? Are you someone of great faith? Perhaps you're someone who loves knowledge and reading and knowing things. Everybody's here somewhere in this list, and every gift is essential to any community. No one has them all, but a community has to have all of them in some way to function and to be the people of God. When your nominating committee gets together to work on putting the vestry together, the vestry members and all, we sit there with a complete parish list and go down name by name. If your ears are burning, that means you're being considered for vestry. This happens in about November. And we have that discussion, oh, that person's gifts would be great, and oh, this person would bring this to the vestry, and this person is quiet, but when he or she speaks, we listen. This person has great energy. We look at all of that, and we put the vestry together, hopefully spirit-filled, to represent all the gifts of the community. Pentecost is an amazing day. It's the birthday of the church, as Jerry Fury, our organist, reminded me this morning. The beginning of the church. Human boundaries end now. The boundaries of race and language are abolished, and all can be one in Christ Jesus by the gifts of the Spirit. Perplexing Pentecostal God, you infuse us with your Spirit, urging us to vision and dream. May the gift of your presence find voice in our lives, that our many thoughts and words be transformed into discernment, and the flickering of many tongues like an unquenchable fire of compassion and justice. This Pentecost day, we pray. Amen.